have our Bible reading now. So if you've not got a Bible with you, just raise your hand. Someone will bring you a Bible. We're going to be reading from Psalm 23. And that, if you have a church Bible, that's page number 555. 555. Psalm 23. Starting at the beginning, we're reading the whole psalm. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word.
Let's pray. Father God in heaven, without your help, we might as well go home now. And so we beg of you that by your Spirit, you will speak to me, the church family, and all the children here, that we will see who you are through your word. May your Son be glorified. Help us, we ask. May we leave this place having grown in faith, love, and trust in you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Good morning. We are continuing our series in the name of the Lord, as you can see up on the top there. A couple of weeks ago, Jonathan taught us from the book of Jeremiah, where we learned that the Lord is our righteousness. You remember that one? That was about a couple of weeks ago. And last week, Rob taught us that our Lord is the provider. I was going to test you, but I thought it's not fair. Our Lord is the provider, and that was from Genesis. If you missed any of those two sermons, they're still online. I recommend them to you. You can log into our website and catch up on those two sermons. I strongly recommend those to you. This morning, we are continuing the series, focusing again on the names of the Lord. And this morning, we are looking at the Lord, my shepherd. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh Rohi. I'm saying that wrongly, but it's Yahweh Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. Church family, I think these verses in Psalm 23, are the most well-known verses in the Bible, in the Psalms. Just this morning, we were praying with someone, and he almost quoted half of Psalm 23. Just goes to show how well-known Psalm 23 is. I thought I knew Psalm 23 until I spent some time looking at it myself and discovered that there is so much in there that I didn't know. There probably is a lot more that I still don't know. But what the Lord has laid on my heart, I am going to share with you this morning. We read in verse 1 there, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Just that verse there, the very first verse, it's so easy to miss what he's saying just there. If I asked you, this time you can help me. If I asked you to tell me words that describe the character of our God, what would you say? Just shout some out. Chris, you look like you're onto something. Just anything. Characters of God.
Provider,
thank you. We had that last week. Provider. That's fresh in your mind, isn't it? Provider, thank you. Any more? Love. The Lord is loving. I want more. Keep going. Faithful. All-powerful, I like that. Yes, thank you. There's two at the back. Oh, my shirt. I'll come to my shirt in a minute. You can't wait for me to say something about my shirt. I'll come back to that in a minute. Steve. Kind, thank you. One more.
Non-judgmental.
Unjudgmental. Non-judgmental, thank you. Someone else said something up here. He's merciful. See, with all that in mind, yes, all that in mind that you've just said, what does he say there in verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. He is calling the Lord, the all-powerful. Someone said he's all-powerful. He's calling the all-powerful God my shepherd. This is a God who is called the I Am. He's independent, he's reliable, he's all-powerful, he's sufficient. He doesn't rely on any of us here. He can stand on his own. He stands on his own with no need from any of us. He loves forever. His love never runs out. This is our God. And do you know what David is calling him? My what? My shepherd. Wow. You've got to get this in your mind first, understand the rest of the psalm. He is talking about the God Almighty. The God Almighty is my shepherd. Church family, I love wildlife and farming programs. Sorry if I'm already boring you. On BBC, they have a series called This Farming Life, which is so exciting. I've been watching this for years. In this farming program, they have working examples of what a shepherd does. It's absolutely fantastic. Maybe some of us have watched that before. This program is on, I think, every week, I think. It shows you at certain points that sheep need 24 hours help, 7 days a week, especially during lambing. It also shows how exhausted shepherds can often be, and often these farming people are husband and wife, and they're taking in turns to swap round in order to cover the 24 hours. One goes to sleep, someone else takes over, and so on. Church family, our passage today gives us a picture of the shepherd and the sheep. As I said, we read in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Church family, from these verses, this psalm is telling us that it's a psalm for believers, those already in a relationship with God. This is a psalm for those who love and know God. King David, who wrote this psalm, he too was a shepherd, and he too was already in a relationship with God himself. You can read about that in the book of 1 Samuel. He says, the Lord is my shepherd because he belongs to the Lord. Church family, if you're exhausted, drained, this psalm is for you. If you're well under pressure, really feeling it, this psalm is for you. If you're facing enemies of all sorts, managers that are so unreasonable, a husband or a wife that does not understand you, kids that are all over the place, this psalm is for you. If you fear death, or the thought of death is crippling and is so draining for you, this psalm is for you. If the Lord is not your shepherd, I want to invite you to accept God as your shepherd using this lovely psalm this morning. So, let's get into the passage. The question is, who is the shepherd? I know we've already touched some of this at the beginning. Who is the shepherd? The answer to that question is very clearly laid out in the book of John, chapter 10. This is the only time we're going to turn somewhere else. Turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 15, page 1076. 1076. I should have done this earlier, shouldn't I? Are you there? Okay. Are you there? Okay. So, Matthew chapter 10 from verse 11, and this is what we read. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. It's very clear there, isn't it? Who is the shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd. You see, I discovered from my farming program that the health of the sheep entirely depends on the quality of the shepherd. I'll say that again. The health of the sheep depends entirely on the quality of their shepherd. Thank you. Someone's with me. It was my wife. Stay with me. Stay with me. It depends on the quality of the shepherd. If the shepherd does not pay attention, he or she's half interested, the flock will suffer. Trouble will come in that family. Overgrown wool will appear, teeth growing the wrong way, horns starting to grow back into the body of the sheep. This is not good. If you've ever watched that program, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. As Christians, our lives depend on the good shepherd. He pays attention 24 hours. His attention is never missed. His attention is like, doesn't miss a couple of seconds. He's always got 100% attention on you if you belong to him. This psalm is all about Jesus. So, what does the good shepherd do for the sheep? We have 3 points here in line with what our pastor Luke does. I thought I cannot get off too far. So we're going to keep to 3 points like our pastor. So you feel at home here. 3 points. Here we go. What does the shepherd do? Number one, he owns and leads them. We saw earlier in verse one that he owns and leads the sheep. You see, sheep are stupid animals. They wander and easily go astray. You see, guinea pigs, and I used to own guinea pigs when I was young, and rabbits, they don't need a shepherd, but sheep do. Isn't that true? Yes? Yes. Sheep paint a picture of us. It was actually while we had gone astray that our good shepherd laid down his life for us. We read this in Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still dead in our sins, Christ died for us. He bought us by the shedding of his blood on the cross. He now owns all Christians. He owns me and you, if you're a Christian here. You are no longer your own. I am no longer my own. We belong to him. A hired hand runs away when trouble comes, but not our good shepherd. He draws near rather than running away. When we were dead in our sins, he came close. When we were in trouble, he came right in our trouble. He now owns us and leads us. But where does he lead us? I hear you ask. Where is he leading us? Where does he lead us? Look with me at verse 2. Besides quiet waters, lying down in green pastures. This green grass, church family, it's not about grazing, but it's for lying down. Sheep, if you've ever seen them, are always on their alert. They don't easily lie down. They don't easily relax. Have you noticed that? Always like fight for you. Walk past, they look around. It's very hard to get them to relax. How does the Lord help them? How does the Lord enable them to lie down? It's when the shepherd is there with them, they can lie down when he's with them. That's what makes a difference. Some of us here, yes, we know what that he owns us, but we cannot rest or lay down. Why? Why can we not do that? Why are we not relaxing? Because we cannot see our good shepherd. we have forgotten. We are not seeing him at all. He won't always lead you to green pastures. He won't always lead you to quiet waters, but he will lead you as your shepherd. Even when you don't see him, even when you doubt him, he will still lead you. He is with you always. Even when you don't understand your circumstances, he is still with you if you belong to him. When he leads, it is always good. Even if it leads to change, even if there's no change, even if the change is so slow, he is still with you all the time. So he owns us and he leads us. He also, Gloria, he also refreshes and guides us. He owns us, he refreshes us, and he also guides us. Look with me, verse 3. He refreshes my soul, it says there. Like sheep, we too have a habit of wandering to bad places. The wandering can be because of all sorts of reasons. It could be relationships problems, illness, stress, poverty, demand on time, not understanding your situation. Oh, you start wandering and going off other places. You think that's where the answers are. Wanting something that you haven't got or something that the Lord hasn't given you. If it wasn't for the Good Shepherd taking the initiative, we would still be wandering today. He knows how to refresh you and me. How? How does he do that? Often it's through his word, through other Christians, through the preaching of God's word, through a rebuke. But it's not the same way always. But he still leads us. It says there in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley, have you noticed the footnote there on the bottom? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, if you look at the footnote, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Someone gave me this top because he wanted me to say something about my top. I think I've used it a couple of times. And my family says, oh, you must wear it because you're doing Psalm 23. And I just realized that it says fearless. Fearless? What's all that about? Fearless. And this is where we come in. You'll understand why it says fearless. Church family, all paths lead to the darkest valley of death. We all face death unless the Lord comes back first. If the Lord doesn't come back before in the next 5 years, it's possible some of us will die. And so we all face death. I'm not trying to be depressing. That's just the fact. David here is talking about what leads up to death. There is no way of avoiding it. It's the same for the rich and the poor, the young and the old. For all nationalities, we all face death. On the A10, the Edmonton side, about a year and a half ago, I watched that the council have extended the graveyard all the way to the 18 road. Church family, after they finished this work, I could not believe how quickly the graveyard is filling up. It's not quite full there, but it's so filled up with all sorts of people. If you go down there, you'll see what I mean. You can't miss it. People die more often than you think. I go up there every week so I can see how quickly it's filling up. And I just think, oh my word, I hope they knew who the Lord is. For those who trust in the shepherd, when death comes, it will be glorious. I'll say that again. For those who trust in the good shepherd, when death comes, it will be glorious. Why? Because they will be with him forever, away from the body, but at home with him. The process is not always pleasant. I give you that. I understand that. But the valley of the shadow of death is what's frightening. David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He will be fearless. Why, David, why do you say that? How can you be fearless? Why? The answer is, it's because he is with you. Why? Because he is? He is? Oh, you've got to be more enthusiastic than that. This is massive, church family. Why are you fearless? Because? Absolutely. It's because he is with you. The good shepherd is with you, both in light and in darkness. He will guide you even in the darkest valley of death. He is with you. This is exciting. I'm tempted to digress, but I'm resisting. No, I won't digress. In one of my favorite psalms, which is 139, this is what it says. Where shall I go from your spirit? I will need your help here again, by the way. When I ask a question, you need to say to me, you are there. Yes? Shall we practice? You need to say,
you are there.
Oh, I want it louder so the neighbors can wake up. I want you to say,
you are there.
Excellent. Thank you. If I go to the heavens,
you are there.
If I rise on the wings,
you are there.
Ah, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there,
you are there.
Where can I go from your presence? Ah, I know. What about if I enter the darkness? Even darkness is not darkness because the same Lord Jesus himself knew the darkest valley himself, the darkest valley of death. He was there, and this is a place he's been before. And that's why we can be fearless. He knows the valley. He knows the way of the cross, which was a dark process to go to the cross. And so, when you, brother and sister in Christ, think of death and are filled with dread, remember, your good shepherd has been there. That way is familiar to him. He has been there already. So he is with you even in that process. He endured death on the cross for you. Sin and judgment was laid on him. You don't need to fear. You've got to be fearless. Not because you can face death on your own. No. Because of the good shepherd. He has defeated death. Hallelujah. What a savior. Church family, that darkness comes in many forms. You might be experiencing illness now, loneliness, unemployment, poverty, chronic pain, depression, all sorts of things. But our Savior says he is with you always. Are you on your own? No, he's with you. Whether you feel it or not, he is with you. In all these shadows of death, the good shepherd is with you. Did you notice? He said, your rod and your staff, what do they do again? They do what? That's quite weird, don't you think? That's, I thought that was a bit weird. And then I looked it up a little bit further, and I couldn't find anything. My budget couldn't go any further. Well, this is the rod, because it's got a sharp bit, and this is the staff. So the Lord has them both in both hands. So do you remember we've got a picture of the sheep, haven't we? Remember that? So the rod symbolizes something, gives us a picture, and so does the staff. That symbolizes something. The rod is a symbol of his protection. It's a weapon to get all those enemies out of the way. So he has that as protection for you. And the staff for leaning on, and also for guiding you and protecting you. So that brings comfort. So it's got them both. Your protection, and your, not to whip you. He never whips you that way. He might whip you in a different way, but not with that. Isn't that wonderful, these pictures? I like these two pictures, the rod and the staff. Protection and comfort. He owns us and leads us. He refreshes us and guides us. I'm going on. Let me finish. The last one. Lastly, he sustains and loves us. How does he do that, I hear you ask? He sustains and loves us. How does he do that? Verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. my cup overflows. That is a wonderful picture. Church family, this is a proper table. In Zambia, where I'm from, husbands, and generally men, I'm not all men, I'm one of those exceptions, generally men, do not prepare the table. They don't do any cooking. If you're invited for something to eat, it's generally the ladies that will get all their banquet ready while the men sit and chat. I don't think that's right, by the way. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Some people know what I mean. Roger, you know what I mean? In Zambia, is that true? Generally, the men don't get involved at all. But did you notice, church family, who prepares the table? Oh, come on. Who prepares the table? The shepherd. The shepherd himself prepares the table. He prepares the table. He's the host. Personally, he does it. He gets his hands dirty as you like, if you like. This is a wonderful picture. He's the host and he's the one that prepares it. This is Christmas dinner with all its trimmings. These are part of my favorites. It's roasted lamb with roast potatoes like my father-in-law does. He does the best roast dinner. It's Burger King, double Burger King. You know the Whopper, the double one, with spicy noodles and shimmer with greens and your Zambian mince, but a little bit spicy. It's all that together, all washed down with the cloudy apple juice. Are you with me? It's better than all that. This is a proper table. This is a proper table prepared by the Lord. God anoints all his people with oil. All Christians are his people, all anointed with his Holy Spirit. We have a feast that awaits us. That's better than what I've just described. In the middle of the trouble that David was going through, he says, my cup overflows. You see, his blessings in Jesus are not tight, but overflowing and abundant. This is the same David who sinned against God. He told lies, he committed adultery, and committed murder. You can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But through Jesus, all these blessings are his. The Bible is all about Jesus, showing us how much God loves us by showing us his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us through the cross. So he hosts the dinner party personally. Church family, if the Lord is not your shepherd, there's problems. But if the Lord is your shepherd, his love surrounds you now and always, including in the valley of the shadow of death. I realize this is not how you may be feeling at the moment. Every good gift in your life is from God. Can I urge you to get in the habit of thanking him? Even what you're wearing there is from God. Thank him for that. Don't focus on that big house you haven't got. Be thankful for what you have. He gives us what we don't deserve and does not give us what we do deserve. His goodness and mercy are to lead us to repentance. Those sins that quench the spirit are to be put to death. You won't be able to do that on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you put those sins to death. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The commentaries that I read here suggested that the word pursue is better than follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. How, David? How can you say that? This is the David who had a son trying to kill him for a long period of time. You know the story, isn't it? He had Absalom, yes, chasing him, wanting to kill him. This is the same David who had another son, causing him loads of pain because he wanted to have an inappropriate relationship with his sister. This is the same David who had a really young child who died. And he's the same David that's now saying, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me. Why? Because David sees the good shepherd in everything, in every part of his life. He has known the Lord's mercy. Church family, from verse 6, we do know what comes. We know what the future holds. Every day of our lives, his goodness and mercy will be with us. It will pursue us, and we will dwell in his house forever. If he's your shepherd today, he will be your shepherd forever. I'll say that again. If the Lord Jesus is your shepherd today, he will be your shepherd
forever.
Oh, thank you. That's much better. I'm encouraged. To be owned by him is to be owned forever. Oh, that's wonderful. If he's not your shepherd, then you must be your own shepherd, brother and sister. Because there's only one true shepherd. You're saying today that the Lord Jesus isn't your shepherd. It means you're your own shepherd. If you think God is pleased with you because of your wonderful actions, oh, I don't steal, I don't sleep about, I don't have bad thoughts, I am kind to my neighbors, I give to the poor, I even sit next to people that are horrible. What is it you're going to do if you get one of those things wrong? What is it will you do if you break one of those things that you think you're good at? You will always be restless and wandering around. The fear of the shadow of death is always going to be with you. Why would you like to be your own shepherd? That doesn't make sense to me. Being your own shepherd leads to eternal death and suffering, which the Bible calls hell. If the good shepherd is not there, then there is hell and suffering. Where the good shepherd isn't, after you die, it's not a good place. It's called hell and pain and suffering and dark. By accepting and believing that he laid down his life for your sins and rose back to life, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And you can say, surely goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house forever. Oh, may I aid you, please. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to believe in the Good Shepherd. Tomorrow might be too late. I am not trying to frighten you. The good news is he's knocking on your door. Take this as a knock on your door. The Good Shepherd wants to lead you and be with you. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and King, thank you for sending the Good Shepherd who willingly laid down his life for us. We thank you that you are not distant from us, but that surely goodness and mercy will pursue us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of that Good Shepherd. Oh, indeed, we will praise you for all that is past and trust you for all that's to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we will finish our service and stand and sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we can sing fearlessly because of the Good Shepherd. Stand to sing with me.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul. I will trust my way.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There'll be coffee, I think. Coffee and tea and whatever else is there. Thank you for coming, and may you know the Shepherd's guidance this week.